This is News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
We are fans of the draft each and every week. We do it like a sports draft. I tell people that almost every single week, and they still don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. But in sports, you get a first-round draft pick. So we pick a category. Today's category, television dramas. Two television critics will pick what they think are the best television dramas. So they will select through five rounds, five different, let's say, Thursday night lineups of dramas, and you'll vote on which has the best. That's coming up after the, in about 15 minutes time here on the iHeartTalk Radio Network. There was a report today that says maybe we need some regulations into how we are marketing to kids in grocery stores. Not why we got our next guest on, but I thought we'd start there. Somebody asked me recently, what is your game plan? What is your go-to? How do you attack grocery shopping? What section do you go to first? We wanted to talk to him about that. But first, let us talk to Michael Von Masso, who is an associate professor, food, agriculture, and resource economics. Michael, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
First question. Do you ever want to punch Sylvain Charlebois in the face? He's the food professor. And I just wonder if there's, amongst people who are giving very good advice when it comes to groceries, do you ever want to take him out?
I'm not gonna go there.
All right.
Sylvain and I have had our disagreements, We have some things we agree on.
I was just trying to start something. Sorry about that. Okay, let's.
It's all good.
Let's move things along. All right, let's talk about this report about should there be marketing to should there be regulations on how stores can market to kids, because we've all seen the kid sitting in the grocery store having a meltdown because mom won't get X. Is that something that should be left to the parents, or should there be some regulation there?
Well, I mean, I think that's a difficult question, because really the grocery stores are putting things on their shelves in the packaging that those manufacturers are doing. So should there be limits on what grocery stores can do? I'm not sure stores are doing a whole lot to customize things or to attract kids, but it's clearly cereal companies and others are doing things really to attract kids. You know, I mean, you and I aren't getting our eye caught by the captain on the front of a Captain Crunch box. Those are clearly sort of animations that are attractive to children. And should they be able to do that? Well, I would argue there probably should be limits, but there should also be limits on the limits, because we have the right to make choices.
Yep.
We have the right not to bring our kids to the grocery store. There are clearly limits on advertising to kids.
Yep.
But I think, you know, we have to be a little bit careful
sure.
when we get to what we're doing in grocery stores.
I'm guessing there's probably some sort of marketing or reasoning, things at eye level or things with, but whatever. Yeah, I do agree with you. So there was this question that somebody just asked me, what's your go-to strategy when you go grocery shopping? And I got to thinking about, hey, wait a second, every single grocery store that I've ever walked into starts with the produce section, and I'm guessing that is no coincidence. So is there a rhyme and reason to how grocery stores are set up?
Oh, there is no doubt that there is considerable thought and extreme purpose to how grocery stores are laid out. As you said, in most grocery stores, one of the first sections we get to is produce. That's a big way that we evaluate a grocery store. That is, you know, for most people, the produce is visceral. And if you see a bad produce section, it'll turn you off the whole store. It's also something that many of us like to pick first.
Mm.
And so that's why we have that stuff at the beginning. But then grocery stores are all about getting you to put more in their basket. That's one of the primary metrics grocery stores use, is the size of the basket, how much they can get you to buy. They're relatively low margin. They want you to buy lots of stuff. And so they put the staples at the back. Milk is at the back of the store on purpose. Yogurt is the back of the store on purpose. Bread is in the far corner on purpose, because you go there, that's something that almost everyone buys, and then you have to walk through the entire store. Yeah. And they hope you pick up more things. So, it's very purposeful.
So, yeah, it's such a good point, because, it's produce, then meat in the one that I always go to. And then, the other things, they're stretched throughout the distance that you can walk within the store. So, I mean, it would be easy if you just needed to get eggs, bread, and meat. You could just grab it in one area, and then you're not going to walk by in Loblaws. It's like, hey, here's a, they got blankets and pots and, you know, all of the other stuff that they're trying to sell here. Now you have to go through a maze of beer in certain places in Canada in order to get to, a bag of chips.
Yep. And you raised a good point there too, is
not intentionally
positioning things next to it. Put things next to each other. So chips and beer, or chips and pop, are together. So if you're getting one, you're reminded of getting the other. And those are very much, for many people, impulse buys. So they are not on the outside. They are stuff that you'll walk by and hopefully see. Same thing with the products that are on the end of the aisles, yeah. Right? Things that they want to entice you to put you in the basket to increase the total that you buy, and therefore increase the margin that they make from that individual shopping experience.
So I guess nobody is shocked about this, the fact that your list might include all of the staples, but if they can force you through some obstacle course of a bunch of stuff that you didn't necessarily want, but the packaging's good, and maybe it's a new flavor of Doritos or whatever the hell it is, they want you to, you know, pick as many of those things as they possibly can, so they set it up in a way that you're going to see as many different things as you know they want to run by you.
Right. And some things are known as impulse items, right? Chips, pop. Many people get them regularly, but for many people, they're impulse items. So put them high profile spots on the inside of the store so people see them on the way back and pick them up. One thing that some of these impulse companies are a little bit worried about is the fact that with more people buying online, you're going to have less exposure to some of these impulse things. And in fact, they're thinking about ways to have them pop up, even if you are doing specific searches. It'll also be that you're less likely to switch, because those platforms will say, this is what you bought last time. Do you want to buy the same thing again? Making it easy for you to buy, but making it harder for you to switch. So there's all sorts of positional things in brick and mortar stores to get us to buy impulse, to show us alternatives in case we want to buy something different that maybe doesn't happen in the online environment.
I'm guessing too that if we're in line, and I'm sorry I'm out of time, but if we're online waiting to check out, we used to like, wonder what's on the cover of any kind of tabloidy kind of magazine, and now we're stuck on our phones, scrolling through Instagram or something. We're probably not seeing those things as often. Michael, thank
exactly
you very
right.
much. I hope I didn't start a fight here. Michael Vaughn Masso is Associate Professor of Food, Agriculture, and